where Scott Lasseter is running, and he's in studio to talk about his candidacy. Scott, good morning. Thanks so much for being here.
Chris, good morning. It's great to be here. You just gave the weather. It's starting to feel like election weather,
isn't
it?
It is. Yeah. It really is. I do want to start with a story that was out this week, reported by multiple outlets, including WPTF, outlined a suspension you had from Connections Academy, where you serve as an assistant principal. Would like to point out that your status has changed. You're now back to active status, something that Wake County Schools confirmed this week. Does this mean that you're back on the job now at Connections Academy?
Yeah, Chris. Well, I'm on vacation right now to be here with you. So that's and focus on the campaign today. But you know, regarding that specific incident, I'll just simply say that you know that matter's been closed, and I'm excited to report that. But more generally, you know, I'm always going to work to protect children that are left in my charge, and I'm proud of the work that myself and other school employees do every day. To put children first.
Let's talk about your district now, where there has been a television ad that's been running for a while now, linking you to Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson and how you would or could work together if you're both elected to your respective post. You have publicly called for the Lieutenant Governor to suspend his campaign in the wake of that CNN story a couple of weeks ago. Do you still stand behind that statement?
Yeah, Chris, you know, the crux of my statement there was if those things are true, they truly are indefensible. And I do think... You know, if that's the case, then the lieutenant governor should have stepped aside and allowed somebody else to carry on the mantle and been a viable choice for governor. It's interesting, though, to see, you know, you talk a lot about misinformation. You talk a lot about the, you know, the sort of polarization of politics. It's interesting to see that sometimes the truth isn't what gets the headlines. Mm-hmm. And we're living in interesting times now when it comes to political ads. And I know that your listeners are savvy. Certainly the voters in the southern Wake County area are savvy and understand that what you see is not always reality. So I really appreciate the reporting that WPTF has done and other news outlets to try to make sure that the truth is out there and folks can't just... spend lots of money to buy a message or spin a story.
But for the average voter who may not be paying attention to the races like some of us are on a daily basis, how do you get beyond some of that misinformation as a candidate?
Yeah, I think you've got to be out there. You know, fortunately, there's a lot of good and bad that comes from social media. But it does give candidates an opportunity to put their own message out there. Mm-hmm. And I'd encourage voters just to really do their homework up and down the ballot. We're living in sort of the wild, wild west right now, where we've got case law that suggests that it's okay for candidates to just outright lie about their opponents. And we're seeing so much of that. We talk about sort of folks losing faith in the electoral process. That's really not a positive thing. And I call on all candidates on both sides to really do better. Be responsible with your messaging. And that's one thing I'm very excited about as we've campaigned. You know, obviously, there's always opportunity to call out your opponent on things that you disagree with. But we've kept it focused on issues. We've kept it focused on votes, things that we can really cite appropriately. Because my opponent has served one term in the state Senate from a district up in North Raleigh, moved recently down into southern Wake County to run in this district. Very different electorate down here. But, you know, we're not talking about hypotheticals or what may be done or trying to link folks to other people just because they've been in the same room as them before. We're focused, again, on the issues, economic relief that folks need, infrastructure improvements in a fast-growing part of the county, public servant compensation, improving educational outcomes, and then transparency. That's key in government.
Let's talk about some of those. You mentioned growth specifically. Wake County, as you know, growing by about an average of 50 people per day. Southern Wake County, the district you would represent, is really growing as well. How would you help manage some of that growth if you're elected to the state Senate?
Yeah, we're talking about Fuquay, Holly Springs, parts of Apex, Willow Springs, parts of Garner. You know, these are communities where folks are really seeking to live, and that's a positive thing, right? We're excited that we have the sort of opportunity, but we also have to make sure that it's properly managed. In my 4 years on the town council in Apex, where I chaired the planning committee and worked on budgets, we did just that, which is forward-thinking planning. That's extremely important, making sure that we are taking steps to preserve farmland. You know, I've served for the last 4 years countywide as the vice chair of the Soil and Water Conservation District here in Wake County. And we've created a forward-thinking sort of, it's actually a national model for farmland preservation. That's absolutely key. Because we've got to maintain open space and make sure that agriculture still has a place in Wake County. We got to think about tax burdens too. And realistically, I think all of the folks in Wake County that received a new property tax revaluation this year, a lot of us got sticker shock when we opened that up. And the question is new, are newcomers and new growth paying their fair share, or is that burden being passed on to folks that are already here? If that's the case, we need to do something about that. And there are important, creative, bipartisan ways to sort of cap that property tax burden for seniors, for folks that are on fixed incomes, for folks that have lived here for a long time. My property tax went up 35-40% in a couple of years on the same house. You know, my salary's not doing that. I don't think anybody's is. So when those things sort of outpace that or outpace inflation, we've got a problem.
You obviously work in education. We've heard a lot about public education. That's one of your platforms. I am curious, Scott, your position on House Bill 10 and how that might impact public education in North Carolina.
Yeah, well, you know, so it's interesting. Unfortunately, our legislature has fallen into sort of the same old trap that we've seen in Congress before, where you take some really good things, put them in a bad bill. Mm-hmm. There's some things about House Bill 10 that I support, right? Our sheriffs need to be cooperating with ICE. If we have violent illegal immigrants in the country that are committing serious criminal acts, we need to take steps to rectify that situation. It also includes an expansion of our public school voucher program, right? And I'm a big believer school choice is important. Parents know what's best for their children. But I also know that the vast majority of school-aged children in North Carolina attend public schools and will for the foreseeable future. And for many, that is the only option that exists. And, you know, you can go back in history. Even George Washington talks about the absolute need for an educated electorate if we're going to maintain a democratic society. So we cannot give up on our public schools. We've got to empower them. We've got to provide them with appropriate resources to ensure that they can get the job done and that teachers are able to teach, that students are able to learn, that schools are the safest place in North Carolina with school resource officers in every school. And order and discipline should be the norm, and high outcomes should be expected from students. And, you know, we can do that by focusing on not just compensation, but also collaboration between public and private schools, homeschools, families, community members. We also need to ensure that we have high quality content and curriculum, because a lot of our teachers are being tasked with teaching without the appropriate curriculum resources to actually get that job done, and parents are not able to follow along at home, so to speak, with some sort of resources. And you know, this is something I've lived in, worked in for 15 years. I'm ready to bring that experience to the North Carolina legislature. A lot of people talk about education. I've actually walked the walk and studied it. And worked in it, like I said. So look forward to making that contribution.
Scott, as I let you go, where can our listeners go to learn more about you and your campaign?
Yeah, www.votescottlassiter.com. You'll see lots of information. We're running a very thorough platform. I want folks to make an informed decision. At this point, I'd love to have everybody's vote, but I want folks to go out there, research me, look at policy positions, and cast their vote for the person that they feel like is going to sit in that seat in the state Senate and push that red or green button like they would want it pressed.
Scott Lassiter is running for state Senate in District 13. Scott, thanks so much for being here. We look forward to visiting again soon.
Thanks, Chris.